Texas Forest Service of A&M College presents a dramatization of an incident in early Texas history in the year 1836. Mr. Booth's Sawmill.
Jack, have the men drive that piling deep. We want it strong enough to hold.
Yes, sir, Mr. Booth. It's steady. You won't have to worry about having your sawmill shaken off this piling. This cypress will hold anything we want to put on it.
Good. I want to start cutting lumber as soon as possible. Some of the settlers are putting in orders for boards already.
I hope we get a chance to finish it, but I'm afeard of trouble.
What's the matter? Have you heard anything more about that Mexican general?
Yes. An engine came through last night heading over back towards New Orleans. He said Santa Ana had taken Goliad and General Houston was falling back after burning the town. The engine said Houston had lost most of his men.
He had only 400 to begin with. Well, I hope the Indian's wrong. You don't know these days what to believe with all these wild stories around. The settlers are all afraid to do much because of the Indians in the north.
I was hoping that Santa Ana would decide to let us alone.
Well, he probably thinks he'll have to do something now after we declared Texas a republic last month and elected Burnett president. He may lose his hold on all of Mexico if he lets Texas break off.
Just a minute, Mr. Booth. Hey, Zeke, will you cut that cross piece off flush with the other side?
Sure will, Jack.
I tell you, Mr. Booth, if we still had a man like old President Victoria running Mexico, we probably wouldn't be having any trouble now. We got along all right under him.
Yes, he did whatever he could for us. But when Santa Ana got in power, called himself dictator, and scrapped the Constitution of 1824, I knew we were going to have our hands full. He's taken away any liberties we did have.
Say, Jack.
Yes, Zeke.
Do you want this planking bolted down, or should we nail it?
What do you think, Mr. Booth?
Well, I should think we'd better bolt it. It will probably hold down the vibration a little, and it won't pull apart so easily.
Bolt it down, Zeke.
All right, Jack.
You know, Mr. Booth, I still can't see why President Burnett moved the capital from Washington up on the Brazos River down to Harrisburg.
He probably wants to have the government headquarters close to the sea now so he can get men and supplies from New Orleans if he needs them.
Yes, I suppose so. It probably don't make the people over in the West feel any better. Of course, we're close here to the Louisiana border.
I hope we get some news soon that Sam Houston is chasing them back out of the country. Otherwise, all the settlers will be packing up their belongings and clearing out of the country again.
They've done that often enough already. That isn't going to do any good. My wife was trying to talk me into moving back across the border into Louisiana again last night. But I told her it's time we stood up to Santa Ana once and for all.
Well, we licked them once at Nacogdoches, and we can do it again if we have to.
Yes, the trouble was that we didn't catch enough of Santa Ana's men that last time.
Well, it might be that General Houston's got them on the run again by this time.
It might be. Say, Mr. Booth, look at that rider coming down the trail. He's whipping his horse to a lather.
He's sure enough in a hurry. Wonder if there's anything wrong.
Mister, what's your hurry?
Santa Ana. He's moving up with nearly 2,000 men. General Sam Houston has fallen back this way. We're going to try to stop the Mexicans on the Trinity or the San Jacinto.
Where is Santa Ana now?
Don't know for sure, but we heard he left Gonzales.
Is the town still standing?
I think they burned it. We'll need all the volunteers we can get this time, or he'll burn us all out.
Where are we supposed to meet Houston?
The settlers are all heading straight west of here, but Houston may still be south, nearer to Harrisburg. If you keep them down on this trail, there'll be somebody on the way to tell you where to go, or there'll be signs left. Are there any more settlers up this road?
There's another camp on the far side of this hill. Are you going on?
I've got orders to get everybody who'll join us. If you're going, take all the shot and powder you have. I'm heading on now. Get it!
Say, what do we do, Mr. Booth?
Well, looks like my sawmill will have to wait. We've got a more important job to do. Give me your attention, men. Seem like this time we got to stop Santa Ana for good. Who wants to go help Sam Houston? Throw your tools in the shed, then, and some of you load the food and the gunpowder and bullets in the wagon. Let's go.
Hand me that rifle. Let's get going.
Henry, help me with these sides of bacon.
Hey, mister, which way is Sam Houston?
He's still south of here. Take the next fork to the left and straight on. You'll run into somebody up there. Maybe Santa Ana.
General Houston, 15 more volunteers have joined us from near Orange.
Good. How many does that make us now?
783 all told, sir, officers and men.
We can use every man we can get. I figure the enemy has upwards of 1,500. Well, assign these men to Burleson.
Yes, sir.
And Horton.
Yes, sir.
Are there any changes in the enemy's position?
No, sir. Our scouts say the right flank of their infantry is still extended to occupy the bank of the San Jacinto. Their left is secured by cavalry in a low fortification. The artillery is in the center and occasionally firing at us, but we're still out of range.
Very good. Now, when we begin the attack, I expect to drive them back. To stop any retreat, I want you to send some men to cut Vince's bridge. It's about 8 miles from here, so they'd better start at once.
I'll send them right out, sir.
Then at 3:30, we'll parade the men. We'll march them into the following plan for attack. Burleson and his 1st Regiment in the center. Sherman with his 2nd Regiment on the left wing. The artillery under Hockley will be on the right of the 1st Regiment, and Millard will, with his 4 companies of infantry, will be on the right. The cavalry under Lamar will be on our extreme right. Do you have that clear?
Quite clear, sir.
At 4:30, our cavalry will be dispatched to the front on the enemy's left to attract his attention, to cover our artillery and giving us time to start the forward move.
Forward, men! Follow me!
Miller.
Yes, Colonel Hockley.
Lamar is moving up with his cavalry. We'll have to take our 6-pounders up to 200 yards of the enemy and give them the grape and canister.
Yes, sir.
All right, men, forward!
Ready, Colonel Sherman.
Very good, Peabody.
Just a moment, Sherman.
Yes, sir, General Houston.
I'll lead the infantry charge. Men, we will advance within point-blank range before firing. Double quick time. Forward!
Remember the Alamo!
General Houston, that musket fire is for us.
We'll keep on until we're nearer. I'll give the order to fire in just a moment. All right, men, fire!
Peabody, General Houston's wounded. Take care of him.
Go on, Sherman. Don't stop for me.
Watch out, Colonel, behind that tree!
It's all right, Peabody. I got him. It looks as if the enemy's dropping back, Colonel Peabody. I think we're making progress.
Hey, the enemy's cannon ain't doing him much good in this skirmish.
If Lamar gets through the line fast enough, we'll soon flush him out of cover. The enemy's dropping back over there. We're turning his flank. Tell Captain Fox to keep his company and cut him off.
General Houston, I have the report on the enemy's losses and ours.
Yes, Horton?
The enemy suffered 630 killed, 208 wounded, and 730 prisoners, including President General Santa Anna and General Cars.
And our own losses?
2 killed and 23 wounded, sir. 6 mortally. Very light losses, sir.
For that, we must give our grateful thanks to that being who rules the destinies of nations. And has, in the time of our greatest need, enabled us to arrest a powerful invader.
lucky we got the men all back from the army before the cold weather set in, Jack.
Yes, it is, Mr. Booth. At least we've been able to get the dam built and the mill ready to go. If we'd had to wait until spring to build the dam, it'd been a whole lot more harder, what with the spring floods and all.
Well, we should get quite a few boards sawed yet this year. I figure we should be able to cut at least 1,200 board feet a day with this power saw if we crowd it. Over around New Orleans, there are mills like this that put out as much as 1,500 feet.
We'll get 1,500 feet a day from this one, too.
Aren't we about ready to turn her loose?
We're just tightening up the bolts before we start cutting. I told Zeke to check it all over before he saw the first log. Zeke, how's it coming?
Just about ready, Jack. I'll be up in a minute.
I'll get the first log in position, Mr. Booth. Henry, George, let's get ready with the log.
We'll get her up, Jack, just a minute.
Careful with that butt end, George. It's about to roll off. Steady there. Steady. That's better.
That's all right, Jack. I've checked the machinery all over and every bolt's tight.
All right. Ready? Start her going. Let's see those boards come off.
Been listening to the dramatization of Mr. Booth's Sawmill, an episode in early Texas history. This mill, built in 1836 by Mr. Robert E. Booth at the head of Adams Bayou, 6 miles southeast of Orange, Texas, was one of the early sawmills of Texas. From this small beginning has come the present logging and lumbering industry of Texas, which now employs more than 30,000 men and brings $30 million in wages to the state every year. There are now nearly 700 sawmills in Texas. On these sawmills depend many other Texas industries. Factories which produce boxes and baskets, furniture, barrels and kegs, woodenware, tool and broom handles, toys and novelties. A large part of Texas lumber is being used to construct thousands of new homes each year. A constant supply of timber will build a greater Texas. This transcription has been a presentation of the Texas Forest Service of A&M College, written and directed by R. Burl Johnson.